Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, please bear with me as I continue to look at the list of names that Paul greets and makes mention of in one way or another in Romans chapter 16. I do not intend to belabor the point. I do not intend to be overly tedious with these names, but I don't want to neglect them either. And I think this is one of those portions of God's Word which is often overlooked or is slightly examined rather than carefully examined. I think I left the broadcast yesterday with the mention of Tryphena and Tryphosa in verse 12. Now there's an interesting pair of names. If I had just said, where do you find Tryphena and Tryphosa in the Bible, without telling you that I was opening to Romans chapter 16, I wonder how many people would know. Very colorful names, actually, Tryphena and Tryphosa. The words mean dainty and delicate. Were they sisters? Probably. Were they twins? With names this similar, you'd almost wonder. Perhaps, certainly no way to tell. But isn't it interesting? Their name means dainty and delicate, but look what Paul says about them. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who have labored in the Lord. They may have had a dainty and delicate appearance, but they were certainly no slouches when it came to work. We've all known those dainty people, women or sometimes even men, who are so dainty they just can't seem to lower themselves to do any kind of tedious or manual work. Let everybody else do it for them. Let everybody else serve them, but they have no willingness to serve others, but not this pair. Whoever they were, members of the church at Rome, Paul knew them to be faithful and dedicated workers who were not reluctant to work up a sweat for the cause of Christ. And then he goes on to say in verse 12, greet the beloved Persis who labored much in the Lord. We're not quite sure who that is, but after that we come to this greeting in verse 13, greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Rufus. Now, we do know of another Rufus, or we do know of another mention of a man named Rufus, which may be another one or may be the same one, and that's what I'd like to pursue. But we find him mentioned in Mark chapter 15 and verse 21. When Christ was on his way to his crucifixion, we read, then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. Now you think about that. Here's the way that Mark identifies this one compelled to bear the cross of Christ. Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus. So we know where he came from. He came from Cyprus. He was a Cyrenian. But he is identified as the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, why would Mark have identified him as the father of Alexander and Rufus, unless the Christians to whom his gospel was written, or for whom his gospel was written, would know who Alexander and Rufus were? If they didn't know who these men were, then why would he bother to identify Rufus, or Simon, rather, as the father of Alexander and Rufus? So it is not unlikely that the Rufus that we find mentioned in Romans chapter 16 is indeed the son of Simon the Cyrenian, the one who helped to carry the cross of Christ. And Paul identifies him here as one who is chosen by God. Did you catch that? Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, or elect by the Lord. Chosen. Now, that's a great theme, of course, the doctrine of election. Christians are, from time to time, identified in this way. Christians are those who are chosen by God, the elect ones, and so forth. We find that kind of language throughout the New Testament. Here, it is mentioned in connection with Rufus. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Now, obviously, that could have been said about anybody. He could have said, greet Priscilla and Aquila, chosen in the Lord. He could have said, greet Mary, chosen in the Lord. Greet Amplius, chosen in the Lord. He could have mentioned that about any of these who are Christians, because when anyone comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we then know that they are one who was chosen by God. That's the only way that we know who the elect are, is when they are brought by the Spirit of God to repentance and faith. So anyone in this list could have been identified this way. For some reason, Paul identifies Rufus this way. Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Maybe Rufus seemed to be a particularly choice servant of God. I don't know. But it may just be that Paul wanted, in this list of names and all the things he was saying here, he may just have wanted to insert a reminder of the truth of election. Paul wasn't squeamish about this language and the meaning behind it, as some Christians are today. Paul didn't stumble all over himself to avoid the concept of election or to explain it away. He wants to insert it here, deliberately, especially in a place where normally you wouldn't find it. Just as a reminder that if you are a Christian, you can trace your conversion all the way back in time to before the foundation of the world, all the way back up into the councils of heaven in eternity past, and realize that you were chosen by God in Christ before the world began. When you were only a future person in the mind of God, had not even been created yet. The world hadn't even been created yet. All you were at that time was just one that would be born at some time in the future, but already chosen by God to salvation, chosen by God to be one of His children, chosen by God to be part of the body of Christ. Rufus, like you, if you are a Christian, like me, if I am a true born-again child of God, are chosen in the Lord. Isn't it interesting that one who bore the cross of Christ has apparently become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Somebody who had been compelled by the Romans to bear the cross of Christ might have resented that and for the rest of his life complained about the injustice of having been compelled to bear the cross of Christ, and complained about it to his family and to his sons, and turned them hostile toward this Jesus of Nazareth. But apparently God the Holy Spirit had other plans in mind for Simon and for his sons, at least Rufus, one of them, because he was chosen by God to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that simply reminds us that we all need to learn to trust God with the injustices of life. Have you been treated unjustly? Of course you have. Everybody has at one time or another. Everybody is unjustly treated at one time or another. Now, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to nurse a grudge? Are you going to complain endlessly for the rest of your life? Are you going to hang on to that mistreatment and keep reminding yourself of it and reminding others of it for as long as you live? Or are you going to turn it over to the Lord and let it go? Of course it was wrong. Of course it was unjust. But don't let that color your relationship with God, and don't let your bitterness about it color the relationship of others with God. And Paul not only mentions Rufus, but also his mother. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, and mine. Paul apparently had developed a relationship not only with Rufus, but with his mother. Again, we would presume that that would have been when they lived in Jerusalem. Where else would it have been, or could have been, I suppose, among one of the other Gentile churches? Now, Rufus and his mother are living in Rome. Isn't it amazing how many people have gravitated to Rome? People that Paul knew from other places have now come to Rome. And so even though Paul has not been to Rome, and in one manner of speaking, we could say does not know the church at Rome personally because he hasn't been there, it turns out when you go through Romans chapter 16 that Paul knows a lot of the people in Rome. He knows a lot of the members of the church at Rome because he met them before they came to Rome. When he comes to Rome, Paul will be no stranger to that church. To some of the church, yes, maybe even to the majority of the church, because we really don't know what size the church was. But just read through this list of people that Paul greets and obviously knows personally and who are now members of the church at Rome, and you will realize that he was coming home, even though he'd never been there before. And whoever Rufus's mother was, who of course would have been, if we're correct, would have been the wife of Simon of Cyrene, she too had become a Christian. I would have taken it that Simon became a Christian. His wife became a Christian. At least one of his sons became a Christian. Could his other son, Alexander, be Alexander the Coppersmith, who did me much wrong? Who knows? Who knows? That's a pretty common name. I certainly wouldn't want to be strongly inclined to think so. I would be more inclined to think it's a different Alexander altogether. But again, here is a warm relationship. Paul calls the mother of Rufus his, that is Rufus's mother, and mine. Now, that doesn't mean that Rufus and Paul were blood brothers, not by a long stretch, but it does mean that here was a dear lady who Paul developed a relationship with that was like a mother-son relationship. She was like a mother to me, said Paul. We've all had people like that. I've had people in my life that were very close and ministered to me in wonderful ways, and almost like a mother or a grandmother or an aunt or some other close relative to me. And that's the way it was with Paul, and that's the way Rufus's mother was to him. Is there any family like the family of God? Aren't you glad to be part of the family of God? Until tomorrow, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.